Hello, this is Hovik Manucharyan, and you're listening to Grün Conversations. The significance of the Armenian nuclear power plant at Metsamur to Armenia's economy, energy security, and independence cannot be overstated. Since being brought back online in 1995, it has served as a vital lifeline and helped fuel Armenia's economic growth. Recently, amid renewed fighting between Azerbaijan and Armenia, the government of Azerbaijan threatened to target the plant with ballistic missiles. In this episode, recorded July 17, 2020, Aspet Kochikyan discusses a variety of aspects related to safety and security of the Metsamur plant with Arek Danagulyan, Associate Professor of Nuclear Science and Engineering at MIT.
Good afternoon. This is Aspet Kochikyan, and my guest here today for our conversation is Arek Danagulyan. Hello, Arek. How are you doing today?
Hello, Aspet. Very good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Arek, I want to have a conversation today in the larger context of the latest flare-up and clashes on the border, but specifically talking about a statement made by a representative from the Azerbaijani Defense Ministry, spokesman of the Azerbaijani Defense Ministry, threatening to hit the nuclear power plant in Armenia, the Metsamur nuclear power plant. This is not the first time that is happening. But in the context of the escalation, I just wanted to get your take on how safe, to start with, is the Metsamur nuclear power plant structurally, operationally, strategically, especially considering that in the 1970s when it was built as a Soviet installation, are there any fortifications left from that time that could be used?
Yeah. So I think two questions that to separate. One of them is safety, and the second one is security. So safety in terms of the stability of the nuclear power plant to accidental circumstances, right? So accidents, excursions, etc. And the second one, how well is it defended from intentional malicious attacks, right?
So there
is a big tendency in the West and in the public that maybe is not familiar with nuclear reactor technology to sort of lump together all the Soviet reactors, and they make associations between, say, Metsamur and Chernobyl. But those are vastly different technologies. The Metsamur nuclear power plant is a pressurized water reactor, very similar in its basic operation to the Western-style pressurized water reactors, the ones that will run in the United States, in France, etc. It does have one significant shortcoming, and it has to do with the fact that in Soviet Union, when they built the nuclear power plants, they did not build something that's called a containment building. It's essentially this big concrete cupola that are like the hallmark of nuclear power plants in the West that protect the plant from external attacks. They are supposed to withstand a hit by an airplane, essentially. And also, right, they contain any kind of possible radiation release. So the Metsamur does not have this important feature.
Okay. And in terms of security, what you mentioned, if I got it correctly, was the safety aspect. What about the security aspect in terms of preventing any such attacks? Usually in many different countries, whenever you have a nuclear power plant, there would be cordon off area around it, sometimes even surface-to-air missiles to protect any attacks. Is there any, to your knowledge, any such things with the Metsamur nuclear power plant?
So I do not know specifically about surface-to-air anti-aircraft batteries in nearby. Obviously, there is a general kind of generic security system, but at issue right now, we're not talking about some soldiers kind of coming and occupying it. We're talking about possibility of Azerbaijan using its short-range ballistic missiles. They have two types of ballistic missiles. They have the LORA missiles that they acquired from Israel that have the what's called circular error probable of 30 meters. They can strike with a 50% probability, they can strike an object 30 meters big. And then they have also Polonez Belarusian short-range ballistic missiles of a range of approximately 300 kilometers with 200 to 300 kilometers, which could also allow it to strike the reactor building of the nuclear power plant. And the danger is specifically in that if they were to carry out such an attack, the outcomes would be quite dramatic, in that if that were to cause a loss of control by the local staff over the reactor, or even worse, a loss of coolant accident, the reactor would go into something that's called a meltdown. Okay, mm-hmm. we're entertaining some horrible scenarios here. It would perhaps be not as bad as Chernobyl, but it would be probably as bad as, say, Fukushima or something like that, you know, and right. would really result in a major release of radiation. And at this point, the question is, well, what if something like that happens? Okay. Important to understand is to, if you look at the radiation, radiation map after Chernobyl accident, you see that it covered most of Europe. Like half of Europe was actually a territory about 2,000 by 2,000 kilometer was contaminated by radiation from Chernobyl. So if something similar were to happen in Metsamor, we're looking essentially at the radiation contamination that would, obviously it would affect Armenia. It would heavily affect Turkey. The reason being is because the Metsamor power plant is within 10 kilometers, a very short distance from the Turkish border. And the prevalent winds in that area, which are important in terms of where the radiation goes and where the nuclear fallout is deposited, most of the radiation would be driven into Turkey. Possibly a lot of the Middle East would be covered, possibly Balkans and Eastern Europe would be covered, and of course Caucasus would be covered. That means would be affected. That means Georgia and Azerbaijan itself, right? So it becomes right. sort of clear that an intentional attack against Metsamor, especially such a direct destructive attack, would be essential, would harm Armenia, but would also harm tremendously Azerbaijan itself. Both in terms of environment as well as economy, because in that condition, economies have to come to standstill, but also political. Yeah. This would be like an enormous, enormous cost to Azerbaijan.
That's great to know. I mean, in a way, they would be shooting themselves in the foot and or in the head or in the arm, but they will be self-harming themselves as well if such an attack would happen. But I want to come back to something that you mentioned, Arek, earlier in terms of the missile attacks. About a year and a half ago, the Houthi rebels in Yemen, they actually targeted Saudi pipelines with, a number of drones, targeted drones, large in quantity. Is there such a possibility right. in terms of attacking the nuclear power plant? And I want to add something here. What is the target that we're talking about? Is there like a specific targets on the nuclear power plant that needs to be targeted? How big, how small are those targets to have a significant damage and radiation?
So it really depends on what kind of drone technology Azeris would have, right? They could, in principle, try to launch something from Nakhchivan. I mean, but they would need drones that right. would operate a distance of 30 kilometers. For example, if they were to acquire the Bayraktar ground attack drones that Turkey has used very effectively in Syria against the Syrian forces, they could use that to harm the power plant. But at that point, we're talking about fairly small warheads. We're talking about 5 to 10 kilograms warheads, explosives. The Laura and the Polonez warheads, they are measured in hundreds of kilograms. These are major, huge, these are fairly large explosive warheads that can cause significant amount of damage. But then the question is that the Azeris don't have to attack the reactor and cause this catastrophic event. They can do other things, right? They can do something that is less catastrophic, but will, say, damage Armenia's economy significantly without causing a radiation release. For example, they could attack the nuclear power plant's ability to produce electricity without actually causing this loss of coolant, accidents that cause radiation release and things like that. Now, if you do something like that, they could attack, let's say, the switchyard. They could attack some of the electrical right. power components at the nuclear power plant. So two things. First of all, yes, that would be beneficial to them and harmful to Armenia because essentially Armenia would lose 40% of its energy. And if that were to happen during winter time, that would be even worse. But fixing, an electrical switchyard power equipment is that, that can be done maybe in a few months. Okay. So Armenia for maybe a month or two would be out of electricity or would lose significant amount of its power output, would damage its economy, to some degree. But again, that would not be catastrophic. We're not talking about, but what is important is that any kind of attack, the question is that political component of this is very important. Any right. kind of attack at a, like near a plant, let alone at a plant, even if you just blow up some kind of a little, shed next to the power plant, okay, is going to have a huge reverberation throughout the world. Because not for technological reasons, but for political and policy reasons, any kind of an explosion in anywhere near the plant that is intentional is going to have an enormous political repercussions for Azerbaijan, because, hey, maybe you were trying to attack the shed, but maybe you could have hit the reactor itself, you know? And even a small chance that such an attack could result in the kind of accidents that I described earlier, okay, would be seen as an unacceptable risk to the world community. Okay, because not because they love Armenia, but because of themselves, because they don't want to face the risk of being
self-preservation,
exactly. Now, I mean, these are all rational arguments. Basically, if we were judging from point of view of rationality, even a minor attack on Metsamor would be highly the value of it would be completely outweighed by the costs. The political costs for Azerbaijan. But again, this assumes a rational treatment, rational approach by Azeris. There's no guarantee that they will pursue such an approach.
So, Arik, you mentioned earlier about some of the worst-case scenarios. I'm curious about, if I'm the operator of the plant, how much lead time do I need, or is there even such a thing where, you know, if I'm aware that in 10 minutes there's going to be a strike, I can do something to mitigate the potential fallout from that. And also, right now, I think the nuclear power plant is shut down for about 6 months for repairs. So does that have any effect?
For 65 days.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. So most of the time, when they do the shutdowns, they do it over summertime when the power needs in Armenia are significantly lower. The power needs obviously spike during wintertime, due to heating and things like that. Specifically, in terms of what can you do, yes, you can hit this famous scram button that failed in Chernobyl, and within 10-20 seconds, you will essentially shut down the nuclear power plant. But the question is, what does it mean shut down? In Fukushima, how come Fukushima happened? Even though they had a shutdown, they shut down the plant well before the tsunami, like a whole, like long, long, long time before the tsunami. What happens is that the nuclear power plant needs cooling even when it's in a shutdown. Its cooling needs are not as big as when it's running full power, but it's approximately 1% of its nominal power. And that 1% can be significant, a few percent. So in case of Armenia, it's about 1,000 megawatts thermal. That means 10 megawatts thermal, 10 megawatts of heat that have to be removed. If you lose your coolant, what will happen is that you'll have a slow warm-up, which will result eventually in a meltdown similar to what happened in Fukushima. So in general, a significant harm to the cooling system of the power plant will eventually lead to a catastrophic, again, not like Chernobyl, but maybe more like something like Fukushima.
Arek, this is Asmed. I have a question. Is this period when Medzamor is shut down for routine maintenance until Labor Day present an opportunity for the Azeris to attack the nuclear power plant without a full meltdown?
So what happens is that when you shut down the nuclear power plant, I mentioned that there is still some power produced. And the reason being is because you are burning, so in a normal mode, you are burning uranium, right? You are causing uranium to undergo fission, and that results in significant amount of energy, which can turn into heat, which then drive your generators, which produce electricity, which then allows you to make Tolma Atom or make coffee or whatever. When you shut it down, there is lots of daughter products from uranium, okay? The ashes of uranium, if you will. But those ashes of uranium are still burning. So they're still producing energy. But if you wait for some time, and I don't remember off the top of my head how long that time is, but if you wait, say, weeks, eventually these ashes, they burn out and the reactor truly cools down, where its cooling needs become quite lower. So if you were to attack the nuclear power plant during that time, you could say, possibly the plant would be able to use its secondary cooling loops to keep cold. But, you know, at that point, that's a speculation. You know, it really depends how much heat is being produced. It depends which... It's not like, oh, hey, we can destroy this cooling loop, but we'll make sure that other cooling loop is still viable so the Armenians don't have a meltdown. No, you don't have such a... You know, they don't have such an ability.
And Arek, talking about the larger nuclear security aspect, do you have any idea as to when was the last time? I'm guessing when it comes to nuclear safety around the world, the IAEA has been responsible for keeping the safety of nuclear power plants by inspecting and so on. Do you have any idea about what are the latest assessments in terms of IAEA and other agencies' assessment of Armenia's nuclear power plant?
So I have not seen the IAEA reports. Many of these reports are not made public. What I have seen, however, I've seen there, at least until 2018, there used to be this committee for the safety of the Metsamo reactor, which would meet twice per year. Every 2 years, it had representatives from all over the world, including Department of Energy, United States. And I know personally the person who was participating. And they would essentially go over all the safety logs of the nuclear power plant, and they would write a report to the Armenian president. At the time, the president was the head of the state, and essentially say what is their evaluation. Is the reactor being operated safely and whatnot? And I saw one of these reports that they produced, which they had actually numbers, number of the incidents, et cetera, et cetera. There were no accidents. And the general impression, and also by talking to this person himself, was that in general it was impeccable. The operation of the plant was impeccable. It was extremely, you know, everything was under control. The IAEA also in general, they make regular visits to the plant. How often do they do it? I don't know exactly, but I know that they are there every time the fuel is being unloaded. Every time spent fuel is being unloaded and fresh fuel is being inserted into the core, into the reactor, they have to be there. And when the reactor is closed, they have to seal all the equipment necessary for moving the fuel in and out. That's a way to make sure that the fuel is not diverted for a weapon, like clandestine weapons.
Right. And is there, for the sake of more information and understanding, usually the enriched uranium, the used up uranium is usually transferred. I'm guessing it comes from Russia, right? The uranium to be used in the power plant. And then it's returned.
Yes,
the rich part is...
What I was going to say is that the uranium that that power reactors in general are ran on, commercial ones anyway, are low enriched fuel. So it's a 2 to 4% enriched uranium, which cannot be used to make a bomb. However, when you burn the fuel, you produce plutonium at the same time, whether you want it or not.
Right.
It's just physics works out that way. You produce plutonium, so someone could take the spent fuel and do a fairly simple chemical kind of reprocessing, a separation process by which they could separate plutonium and then it could make a bomb out of the plutonium. This is a reason why IAEA requires all the fuel that comes to Armenia to later go back to Russia and none of it to stay in Armenia.
And I'm guessing they also measure, you know, they have the decay rate and so on and so forth. So they know it's not that you can hide a small portion of the plutonium or anything.
I mean, so this is a big topic in terms of how to guarantee that someone hasn't come and cut off like a piece or something like that. In general, it's very difficult. Someone theoretically could do that. So there's people who are actually working on developing new technologies that can non-invasively verify that, in fact, nobody has been mucking with their spent fuel. Because the spent fuel has to spend, you don't just pull it out of a reactor, send it back to Russia. It will kill everyone on the way. What you do is that you put it in a what's called cooling pond, where it sits there for 6 months. And all these daughter products I talked about, they keep decaying. Okay. So the spent fuel becomes less and less and less and less and less radioactive. Eventually you put it in a concrete cask, this big cylinders in, you know, so the way where it's a radioactivity is low enough, you can do that operation, move it in a cask, and then that cask can be shipped to somewhere.
Usually, talking about the general safety and general usage of nuclear power plants. The current Medzhambor nuclear power plant is set to operate until 2026, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I've heard many different dates to 2026, 2029.
It has a life of about a decade or so. Now the question is, how useful is it for Armenia with not enough energy resources to keep relying on nuclear power plant as a mode of producing energy? 40% of Armenia's energy come from there. Is that, in your opinion, both as someone who follows Armenia's news in Armenia, but especially as a scientist, do you think that there are better alternatives for generating electricity in Armenia other than the nuclear power plant?
So the devil is in the details, and this is a big question because there's multiple factors that come in. One of them is, for example, the energy independence. The second factor that has to be taken, the second question is the economics of power production, okay? And economics of power production is a huge topic. It does not mean cost of power production. It means cost of power production and the utility of that power production. If you produce power at a time when you don't need it, doesn't matter how cheap it is, that power is useless to you. Question is, so basically what I'm getting at is that people have suggested that maybe we should replace nuclear power with, say, the renewables. There's tons of sun, there's tons of wind in Armenia. If you look at the cost of solar and cost of wind, it keeps coming down. Awesome. The problem is that the sun shines when we don't need electricity. Wind blows when we don't need electricity. When we need electricity, which is in the evening and early in the morning, there is no sun and the wind hasn't kicked up yet. So yes, it's very cheap, but it's like, hey, let's replace my car with a bicycle and drive to the state next door. The bicycle is so much cheaper than a car. Why are we buying cars? Let's buy bicycles. Yeah, but you know, getting to the next state, to New York State from here on a bicycle might be hard, unless you are like a hardcore biker like me, and then maybe that's fun. So this question suddenly become very complicated. But in general, to like give some general answer to your question, so the listeners can get some idea, nuclear power does provide you significant advantages. It provides you guaranteed power. And essentially for at least 2 years, once you have fueled your power plant, for 2 years, guaranteed power, nobody can do, you know, anything to stop your power. Unlike, for example, fossil fuels, right? Like gas or coal or something. It produces power at an industrial scale, which is very important. However, of course, it has its downsides. One of them is that nuclear power is expensive. Very cheap. It involves a huge capital investment. Solar and wind have their advantages in that they give you like this amazing, even better power independence. You just depend. But the trouble is that, you know, you have power independence, okay, but also the sun and the wind are independent of you too. You cannot tell them to shine and blow, you know, blow when you need it. So then there is a problem of storage and energy storage. How to store that electricity when it's not necessary, so that you can release it back into the grid when it is necessary.
Or the transportation that electricity, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, Armenia is a small, so the grid is very small. Your transportation, you know, your losses over the grid are not very big. So something that people have proposed, for example, is pumped hydro, where you can essentially, when the wind is blowing and nobody needs it, you can use it to pump up water up the dam. And then when the electricity is necessary, you pump that water down to the hydropower plant and drive turbines, produce electricity. And Armenia, interestingly, has lots of installed hydropower capacity. So theoretically, you can install solar and wind. You can expand the hydropower, and then you can use that tandem to actually make wind and solar functional. But to give this answer, you know, it's not an answer that can be given over a podcast. It's something that someone really, the really devil is in the details. Someone has to go sit down and like really compare all the alternatives and find out which is the right solution.
Yeah, and you know, recently there have been trends in Armenia as well, globally as well as in Armenia, to switch or to at least start utilizing renewable energy, especially solar panels. And there are reports about different places in Armenia utilizing that. I just want to end the conversation with one final question. After independence, after the earthquake, and there were major concerns about the Medzamor nuclear power plant safety and so on. It was shut down for a couple of years and they had to reopen it. Do you know historically, but also in terms of its maintenance, ongoing maintenance procedures, whether or not these things are constantly updated, structurally as well as maintenance-wise? How often is the maintenance and upgrade do they take place?
So, I other than what I told you, that there are constant essentially checks that IEA is doing, that different committees are doing things. I am not aware as to whether there are any new current upgrades. Does it make sense to do upgrades if this reactor is going to be shut down over the next 10 years? It's not clear if upgrades are kind of worth the finances, the resources, and things like that. Yeah, so I'm not, obviously in the 90s, lots of work was done before it was relaunched. They retrofitted the whole building, made it more seismically stable. They changed their communication and power systems, made them introduce redundancies as a way of making things more reliable, et cetera, et cetera. But as of last 5 years, I do not know.
Okay, then. Thank you, Arek, for this very informative conversation and, educating ourselves and our listeners. I thank you for your time, and I look forward to having you again down the line for a more in-depth discussion about Armenia's energy issues.
Absolutely. This was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening, and we appreciate your feedback as we work to bring you content designed to enrich your knowledge on Armenia. You can contact us on the web at grung.org or through our Facebook page by searching for ANN Grung. That's G-R-O-O-N-G.